Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around a spooky dude. While Ridley and Everett continue their adventure, Iris searches for info about her brother, Iggy. After being threatened by an inquisitor, Iris and Emily searched Iggy's apartment, then sought help from Emily's pack, only for a jealous werewolf to pounce. Iris, with the death of the werewolf Dominic Looney on her hands and a surprising kiss from Emily still lingering on her lips, can Iris survive meeting the pack? Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
Iris, you have just been jumped by a werewolf. This is not the first werewolf you've tangled with, but it is the first one that you haven't torn the heart out of and eaten. Yes, you find yourself pinned to the ground by, Charlize Theron with one of her like short haircut looks. She had dark hair slightly more lupine features. She has pinned you to the ground and is kind of doing that snarly werewolf in human form thing that werewolves do. As Emily looks on, what do you do? She's going to react, but like, this is the moment in which you've been tackled. You have faster reflexes than Emily, we've determined several times over. So what do you do?
I'll knowing that this is important to Emily, I'll probably just like put my hands up, but like not fight back, almost going limp, but still trying to protect myself and be like, Emily, you want to help here?
Emily comes rushing over and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And she kind of like uses her one hand to just kind of like put a hand on this lady's shoulder. And she just sort of looks over and snarls at her and says, step back. This doesn't concern you. And Emily's like, hi, sorry. I think it kind of does. Also, I think there's been a tremendous misunderstanding. This is my boss and best friend. Not any threat, Celine. So maybe you can let her up. I brought her to meet you all.
Maybe get the fuck off me.
Celine like leans down and just sort of sniffs along your jawline, and her eyes kind of narrow, she very. Like is clearly kind of like hesitant. You also get the sense that she can smell that you're a kindred. As much as you play the, no, I'm just, it's just me. It's just Iris. I'm so Iris. Don't worry about it. The supernatural creatures of this world seem to be somewhat wise to what's going on. Miles, can you roll me a, let's see. It's not really intimidation. It's kind of like angry persuasion. So I'll take either an intimidation or a persuasion. And I think resolve or manipulation, please. Or composure, actually. Any of those would work.
Okay.
You get the sense that she has heard both you and Emily, but you know how werewolves be? She's going to make up her own mind.
Three successes.
Okay. Very hesitantly and like pushing your shoulders kind of back into the ground as she does it.
So a dick move?
Totally a dick move. she kind of pushes off you and gets up. She is dressed in like essentially biker gear, but like the expensive upscale biker gear that you would expect for... from movies, generally speaking, anytime there's like a badass lady driving like a really fast motorcycle. So not like she doesn't look like she's in a...
She looks like Angelina Jolie in Gone in 60 Seconds. Is that who you're talking about?
Sure. I mean, I'm mostly thinking about like minor villains in Fast and Furious movies, but sure, yeah. Let's go with that. But yeah, so Angelina Jolie in Gone in 60 Seconds is a pretty good parallel for this. So... clearly,
are you talking Ruby Rose and John Wick?
Yeah, I think that actually might be where my head's at. I was trying to, because I was like, I kind of had a Ruby Rose idea in my head, and I was like, but what movie can I place her in? Because all I could think of was Batwoman.
Oh, ew.
She's already quit that show.
She's already quit.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, that's probably the best parallel for this. So, yeah, Ruby Rose, John Wick, perfect. Great. Highly expensive gear, but also, like, meticulously well-kept. So, stark contrast from what Everett and Ridley have just been dealing with the orphans. This is, like... I want to be able to go straight from like riding my motorcycle into any event and still stand out a little bit, but still be very highly fashionable. Also stands out like a sore thumb in the woods, which kind of clashes with your idea of werewolves. So she kind of like forces your shoulders into the ground and kind of rises to her full height. She's a little bit shorter than you, but definitely carries herself with a good deal of confidence. She sort of again narrows her eyes and just says, you smell strange for kindred.
Thanks. You smell like a werewolf?
And she kind of like looks to Emily, who just like shrugs, but also is giving like a fucking come on thing. Like you just pounced on her and like sniffed her, and you can almost hear Celine grit her teeth at this
at my sass,
at Emily's sass and your sass and just generally sass. You get the sense that she's a very
oh okay so
earnest werewolf, person.
Okay, so werewolves can give me sass. I can't give it back.
Look, man, I don't make the rules. Don't hate the player, hate the game. In this case, I guess hate the player, not the game. So she then walks over and just like slings an arm around Emily and says, sorry, your friend's kind of a dick. And then she like aggressively makes out with Emily, who is like kissing back, but in kind of a like, this is a PDA thing. Also, clearly, like her eyes dart to you for a moment in kind of a vaguely apologetic, but also being fully aware that she like full on kissed you earlier today. Before kind of like gently easing out of this and then like pecking Celine on the cheek and like, you know, this is fine kind of way. She goes, so Iris, not quite the introduction I was hoping for, but this is Celine and apparently she's my mate. That's a thing in the Blood Talons, which is my pack. Celine just says, yes, we all have people that are destined for us and none others. And Emily is mine and I am hers. And then she like slaps Emily on the ass and says, and we're so happy to have finally met. But any friend of hers is welcome amongst the Blood Talons. Come on, let's go meet the others. And then she like starts like pulling Emily away and Emily like slips out from under her arm and goes over and offers you her arm to help you up.
Okay. So is Celine out of earshot then?
She's like standing nearby doing that annoyed foot tapping like, ugh, friendship, I'm over it thing.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not going to say anything to Emily at the moment. I'm just going to get up and be like, oh, okay. This is a lot of new information here, Em.
And she kind of gives you that like sort of sheepish, I'm sorry grin and kind of like tucks some hair behind her ear and just says, this is kind of my version of surprise. I'm a vampire, I guess. So,
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Anyway,
the biggest thing is like, are you okay? Are you happy? Is like,
it's all honestly, cool and it's, kosher? Yeah, it's great. It's great. You know, Celine is like really into me, which is nice. I find I'm often the pursuer, not the pursued. So that's kind of nice. And really she's much nicer once you get to know her. I mean, I've known her that long, but she's always been very nice to me. And then she kind of blushes a little bit and is like, she's a lot. And she's also like, very sexually forward, which I wasn't really expecting, but was very nice. It's been a while. Anyway, look, I'm sorry. Yeah, things are good. But come on, you got to come meet the rest of the pack. Oh, and as I said, I think they can help us with Iggy. So come on.
Okay, we'll have a longer conversation later.
And she looks at you in kind of like vague horror, being like, I guess so. And leads you further into the camp. Miles, where is Iris at with all this? This is you're kind of being welcomed into a sort of there's a bit of a clearing. There's a fire going. Someone's rigged up a TV. There's a football game on. And you can kind of hear music and general revels. So you still got a little bit of distance before you're like fucking in Wolf Town. But yeah, where are you at with all this?
On high alert, a little pissed off. Wary, but I do trust Emily. But definitely on guard.
Right. Okay. Cool. Fair enough.
I don't have anything to make me not squishy. So I'm kind of in the middle of an enemy city.
This is true. This is true. And of course the death of Dominic Looney hanging large over you. You're welcomed in to the camp, and yeah, clearly just a sort of a casual hang happening. Someone's got a keg of beer going. Over the fire, there's a rack of stuff being cooked. There's a variety of meats. Someone is doing like a bunch of veggie platters, just like fully grilling away. And yeah, you can see sort of a lot of people of different walks of life seem to have coalesced here tonight. There's a couple of like women just like yelling at the football game. There's a trailer that's been set up, but it seems almost like a construction site trailer. So like one of those big ones that kind of folds out. As you approach, there's kind of a Celine gives a whistle and everyone kind of like pauses what they're doing in a vaguely like someone arrives in the bar kind of way. She goes, listen up. Emily has brought her friend, the Kindred, to come visit for reasons. Let's give her a warm welcome. And there's various like people like raise their drinks and literally the rest of them actually seem pretty warm. Like there's just kind of like in the way that, you know, someone shows up to a family reunion that you don't really know. And you're like, oh, hey, cool. Hi, I guess. All right. Then they all kind of go back to their stuff. There's a woman who looks a bit like Judy Greer, who is just kind of like edging around the fire towards you. Your eyes are kind of locked on the trailer as you can kind of hear a bit of like a commotion inside, and you just hear a voice say, "Hang on," and then a crash, a couple of like there's sort of some giggling. There's clearly a couple of people in there giggling. Judy Greer type comes up to you and just like kind of out of nowhere is suddenly at your side, and she just leans in and she says, "So a Kindred, huh? What's that like?"
It's kind of hard to put into words. You kind of got to experience it.
Oh, that's cool. She turns to Emily. She's like, "She's cool. I'm really glad you brought her." she just kind of like, her eyes keep kind of darting to your mouth as you talk. And she just starts fading back, being like, "She's got the fangs. So cool." And then she like goes back and her friends are all like clearly just hecka embarrassed about this. She like goes over and is doing that thing where she's clearly like talking about you and pointing at you and then trying not to. The door to the trailer sort of flies open and just a fucking mountain of a man comes out. He's about 6'10". He's got black hair in Viking braids. And just a jaw that you could cut wood with. Think kind of a like a Jason Momoa vibe in terms of just like super ripped, bunch of tattoos, kind of doesn't seem to realize that that's what he looks like. He comes out just like pulling on a Slipknot shirt that may or may not be his. It looks a little small. He just kind of extends his arms, says, "Welcome. Welcome, friend. Any friend of one of the pack is a friend of ours. My name is Lycanon Greywood. You are welcome here amongst the Blood Talons." A lady comes out, just like kind of clearly naked, peeks out and just says, "Lycanon, can I have my shirt back?" And he says, "No." And he comes marching down the stairs. Just kind of eyes where Celine is, eyes you, eyes Emily. And then he looks back to Celine and rolls his eyes and just says, "Tell me you have not been giving her trouble, sister." And Celine kind of like crosses her arms and says, "Nothing she didn't deserve." And then kind of like wanders off to grab a drink. And he says, "You must forgive my younger sister. It is difficult being the sister of the alpha of a pack, even more so when your mate has such attractive friends. You must forgive her. She is somewhat territorial, even amongst us. The I've never had to say this word before aloud. Should have done this beforehand. The Uratha, or werewolves, I suppose you would say.
Right. Don't worry about it. It's forgotten."
"That's damn decent of you. She's kind of an asshole." "Well, ooh. Good. Welcome, please. Do you require anything? I would offer you a drink, but I'm afraid that, our kind don't usually donate to your kind."
I'm thank you for offering, but I'm good.
"Fair enough. I'd offer you some snacks, but I also understand you don't eat."
"Yeah, the result is never very good."
"Fair enough. That's also true of Rufus over there. And he just points at a guy who's just like fucking nomming these veggies. And he just goes, whoa. Overall, you're getting a sense that aside from Celine and, you know, a couple of the cool kids she's hanging out with over by the keg, generally speaking, the Blood Talons seem pretty chill. So here's my question to you, Miles. For Iris, would she want a public audience with Lycanon, or would she want a private audience?
Probably private.
Okay.
But with Emily.
Okay. So can you please roll me an etiquette and charisma? You can tell from the way he's kind of strode out here that Blood Talons tend to do their kind of likes to hold court. So you get the sense that getting him on private grounds will need just a little bit of massaging.
Three successes and one is a 10.
Only one is a 10?
Yeah.
Do you have hunger dice right now, or are you still satiated?
I do have hunger dice.
Okay, well, no messy successes, sad panda.
I apologize.
It's okay. I'll forgive you just this once. You kind of mentioned to him that, or I think you just start sort of like gesture towards his trailer the way you kind of would if you were talking to like another famous person at an event, which is just kind of like, we don't need to be around the plebs. He just nods and he says, yes, of course. A private audience is best for news of wayward family. Do you pardon me like 1 minute? And he just kind of goes up and leans his head and he says, ladies, I apologize. I'm going to need the space. We can pick this back up soon. I got to do some business. you hear some like, yeah, legitimately, you hear some legitimate like sounds of disappointment, and like the sounds of buzzing stop and some things being unplugged and people like rapidly putting clothes on, and four people of all shapes and sizes come like out of the trailer. He just kind of like is doing that like, I'm so sorry, I apologize. They all just kind of roll their eyes at him and go to grab some snacks and have a laugh. And there's like a lot of like applause for them as they leave, and they're like waving to people, and it's very clearly a like everyone knows what goes on in that trailer and everyone's on board with it. Steps up the stairs and says, please step into my office. And he seemed like very quickly start to Febreze the inside. Just one moment. He's like, shit. Sorry. This is the best I can do on short notice. Emily only told us you were coming a few minutes ago. So sorry.
Not to worry.
Inside you find just like a nicely appointed trailer. It's pretty fancy in here. The vibe that Celine is clearly trying to give off with her outfit is the vibe that Lycanon is effortlessly giving off with his trailer. It is top of the line, super expensive, and like remarkably cozy. He just kind of like quickly pulls a curtain over the bedroom that's just in shambles, says, Iris Dunn, you'll have to forgive me. I'm not entirely familiar with your poetry, but Emily has assured us that you're quite a big deal.
I'm a medium deal, but I put in a lot of effort, so it's got me places.
Admittedly, I've found that medium deals are often the nicest people, big deals are often the biggest assholes, and little deals are often quite kinky in the sack, so we're going to get along just fine.
Oh, didn't know that about little deals. Thank you for the info.
Neither did I, but here we are.
Hi there, I'm Tom McGee, and I love stories. And odds are, if you're listening to our shows, you do too. So, if you're wondering how you can help support our storytelling and world building and these wonderful characters and their sometimes ridiculous journeys, you can head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice There you'll find a variety of different levels and different perks, starting from as low as a dollar, which gets you into our Patreon-only Discord, where you can talk about the latest episodes, all the twists and turns, and just generally hang out with some truly lovely people. There's a whole variety of levels with everything from advanced episodes, ad-free feeds, to, of course, at our $25 level, getting to create your very own character who appears in some of our shows and sometimes becomes a long-running friend or foe of our characters. So, if you want to get involved, if you want to help us tell more of these stories, then head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. And help us create more of these fun adventures together.
Dumdums and Dice would like to welcome you to Curse Code and Crown, a live play Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition podcast featuring a fully original world and campaign. Curse Code and Crown features our regular voiceover artists and improvisers, Laura Elizabeth as Princess Gwendolyn, Tyler Hewitt as Maka Deathcap, and Ryan LaPlante as Duncan Kindano, alongside our dungeon master, the incredible Tom McGee. So get ready for an adventure including thrills, chills, and hope for a brighter tomorrow. It's time for Curse Code and Crown! Episodes are available now.
Iris Dunn. Emily came to us in a slightly different way than most in our clan. How familiar are you with what happened to her?
She hasn't told me much, but just what I can gather.
Yes, it would seem that someone managed to transmit our forsaken nature into her through unnatural means. This is a strange, strange bit of alchemy we ourselves do not fully understand. And yet, she is one of us, if slightly different. But you, and he just kind of takes like a deep sniff and he says, you smell similar. Tell me, have you encountered the darkness under the mountain?
I honestly couldn't say.
There is a creature that lives in this town, this cursed city. Me and my kind have attempted to keep him trapped, but forgive me, this is going to sound awfully racist, but your kind have a very unfortunate habit of waking him up and often attempting to become vessels for him. He is a demon known as Metethiax.
Can't say I know that name.
Miles, are you the player unfamiliar, or is Iris
no,
the character?
No, Iris is pretending to be unfamiliar.
Great. All right. So I was going to say, like, wow, dude, we got to recap some shit.
No, that was.
So I'm going to need I'm going to need some lies from you, my friend. Yeah. Let's go with subterfuge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think manipulation, probably.
Really hitting me with the big guns today, Tom.
Dude, you're the one who's lying. I didn't make you lie.
Two successes and one's a 10.
Fortunately, not enough. His eyes narrow and he just says,
a good liar. Peace.
yes. If you're money pleasing it, then sure. Yeah, fine. He narrows his eyes and he says, you should answer this next question very carefully, Iris Dunn. We are fond of your Emily. However, we will not hesitate to destroy a servant of the demon Metathiax. And Emily's like, I'm so sorry. And he's like, not now, child. And she shrinks back, almost as if she's been struck. And obviously, Iris, you don't know anything about werewolves in this world or how Aratha work, but you get the sense there is some like deep fucking magic shit going on around how the alpha works and how this pack seems to operate. But he turns his gaze back to you. And for the first time, you realize just like how fucking big he is in this small room. And he just kind of, again, looks at you with none of the joy or mirth he's previously had and says, "So I will ask you again, do you serve the demon Metathiax?"
"No."
"Then how come you smell of him?"
I've encountered him by accident.
And now he looks like legit confused. And he's like, you encountered the demon Metathiax by accident?"
"Yeah, I was trying to stop a bunch of stupid kindred from like raising him. And and accidentally had a conversation with him, so."
"Okay, you see, I'm so sorry. This is the shit I'm talking about. Just constantly trying to summon him."
"Hey, I tried to stop it."
"Look, I appreciate that. I apologize for getting worked up there. It is difficult to be the alpha of a pack and not have anger issues." Meanwhile, like, he's been remarkably calm about all this.
Yeah.
But he's clearly like, this is just a thing for him. He's like, I'm sorry. I was just concerned. The demon finds incredible ways to slip his bonds, and I didn't realize you could just kind of bump into him like that, like he was someone on the subway you didn't want to talk to. That is concerning. And yet here you stand. Well, you and Emily, both of you, somehow have survived an encounter with Metathiax. This is news to you. Iris, you have not heard any of this. Do you think you would try and poker face this, or would you investigate?
I'd probably try to investigate, because if I twice didn't die, it's good to know what might happen next time.
Cool. So what do you ask him?
So, just for a little clarification, are you saying that, like, most people that come in contact with him just, like, you know...
"Oh, my dude, so many just... or we have to kill them. Or they kill each other. There was this whole mess a while back with a couple of high-ranking kindred. Metathiax has a power over your kind. The kindred are used to being at the top of the food chain, at the top of society, and often this leaves room for creatures like Metathiax to find their way in. And before kindred know it, suddenly they are merely puppets, the way we treat our herd, or as you would call them, kine, the humans. They don't suspect his influence until it is too late. The Sabbat, the sect of, I don't know how much you know about kindred, but they're, you know, the crazy ones. they've run Montreal for years, and they've been under his sway. He holds tremendous power in the city. Power that has only recently been shaken by the amount of kindred who fled. And yet, first Emily, now you. It would seem that your idiot kindred friends that you fought may have awoken something in him. But yes, most people who encounter Metathiax are possessed or killed, or we hunt them down. You and Emily are the first of whom we've smelt his presence on, and yet do not seem to be demon puppets."
"Interesting."
And Emily's like, "Hey, this is kind of news to me too. Your Highness, sir, I'm so sorry. I don't really know the verbiage yet." And he's like, "Lycanon is fine. I'm not a king, just the alpha." And she sort of nods and says, "Yeah, okay, but I don't think I've ever been possessed by a demon or any..." "Wait, is that when I killed Dr. Skull and all those guys? Was that that?" And he says, "No, that was the change. No..." And he kind of scratches his forehead, and he says, "Iris Dunn, can I be honest with you about admittedly kind of dumb theory I've got going.
Sure.
Okay, great. I'm kind of stuck on this, though. Honestly, the rest of my tribe, or clan rather, they don't really think this is a thing. I think the way Emily was turned was through an alchemical substance that incorporated elements of Metathiax with elements of our blood, thus passing our curse on to her.
Does this demon have like a body that can like they can suck things out if you put into a liquid?
I believe if he possesses someone and you extract fluids from them rather aggressively, then yes.
Well, that's not cool.
In fact, Miss Dunn, I suspect this is why the Red Section attempted to abduct you from your house.
Come again? Who?
Surely you're familiar with mercenary groups out in the world, the Blackwaters, hired guns. In our world of, well, let's not kid ourselves, supernatural bullshit, our world of darkness, there exist these groups as well. Emily has told us of the SWAT team that attacked you. Mm-hmm. They were no SWAT team, as I'm sure you ascertained. They were members of a group called Red Section, a mercenary group of various supernatural creatures, be they wraiths, werewolves, kindred, creatures for hire to the highest bidder. Now, if what I believe to be true is in fact true, you having survived an encounter with Metathiax might make you incredibly valuable to such an organization, to whoever is making these alchemical potions.
Fun.
Which, of course, brings us to the question at hand of Ignatius Dunn, your brother.
Oh, yeah. So, you know how you think your sister's an asshole sometimes? You should meet my brother.
Maybe we should hook them up, huh? Give Emily a break. Ha! And Emily is kind of like, uh-huh. Like, she doesn't know. Weirdly, like, you're seeing from Emily, unfortunately, like, the assistant that you wouldn't want. Like, there's a lot of the, like, I have to kiss the boss's ass stuff going on. And you're not sure whether it's just Emily being Emily or whether it's the alpha nonsense. But this is, yeah, this is not a, this is not a mode you don't love this all for Emily.
Right.
He nods and he says, we believe that Iggy, as I believe you refer to him, was being used by Red Section. We suspect he may actually be in somewhat deeper than he intended.
When it comes to Iggy, he usually is.
The street drug Drac, I believe you've encountered this, yes?
Yes.
Yes, so here's the thing. I'm pretty sure I have a degree in chemistry. I don't talk about it a lot. The others think it's kind of bullshit. They really thought I should have got in for like business or something. I just really like sciences. I've run some tests, and he kind of like punches the side of his console and it flips out. There's like a legit, like, very nice little chemistry set in there. He says, I've run some tests on the Drac. And it, too, carries traces of Metathiax. My fear is that someone is processing the very essence of the demon and distributing it amongst your kind, amongst the herd. And I fear now to create unclanned Uratha.
Oh.
Not unlike, what was the term you used, Emily? And Emily says, Children of Batista, sir, is what we've been calling them. Kind of unlicensed kindred made by an asshole. And he says, yes. Things made by assholes are a common problem for all of us, I find. That said, Iggy is remarkably difficult to track, and we are quite good at tracking. His trail runs cold at the Orphans Biker Bar. We understand you have dealings with them. They serve Batathiax and have for quite some time. If you seek your brother, I suspect you will find him there. While you're there, anything you can find about this alchemical substance or the plans Batathiax and his allies have for the city would be of great interest to the Blood Talons, as would any information about one of our lost sisters. I know this is a lot to ask, but I hope, given the interest of cooperation we've had and the information I've given you, that perhaps you will return the favor. You see, one of ours was murdered. Her name is Dominic Looney. And we have no leads as to how, where, or why. We managed to find the facility, but how she got there and who killed her, we do not know. So, should her death be tied in any way to this, we want to know, for we must bring justice to the one that destroyed her. And he smiles broadly. He's like, surely you can understand that, right? So yeah, help us find and kill a killer. Should be fun for all involved.
If I find anything, I will let you know.
Can you roll a persuasion and composure, please?
Four successes.
Yep, good roll. He just shakes his head and says, Dominic was a fearsome warrior, and though she liked to toy with the herd and take her vengeances where she could, we never thought that their kind could destroy her. So surely the hand of Batathiax must be involved. So discover this and you shall be greatly rewarded. So like, thanks. We'd really appreciate it. Now, the Orphans have had their grip on Montreal for some time. They will not go down easily. And given that you've come here in the spirit of friendship, and you have offered to assist us in our time of need, my pack will assist you in yours. When you need us, merely call. And in an adorably familiar gesture, he reaches into a drawer and pulls out a burner phone.
I love it.
And hands it to you. And he just kind of grins. And it's like legitimately very charming lady. He just says, after all, you're basically part of the pack now. With that, he like stands up and like goes for a hug and then stops and instead offers a handshake.
Yeah, I'll take the handshake and right. I'll try to be gruff about it and like take the handshake and then do the on the elbow.
Yep. Cool. Yeah. And you start doing it and he kind of realizes he's a bit behind and he's like, oh. So then he starts doing it too, and you're both just kind of awkwardly doing it for a little bit too long as dudes are like to do.
Yeah.
He kind of nods and sort of gestures out. As you and Emily leave, he just yells, ladies, when you have finished your snacking, we may recommence. I will put on the Taylor Swift. And he goes back in and to your surprise starts cranking Folklore. Not the track you'd expect for a rockin', Viking sex party. And yet here we are. So you've got a lot of the information you needed. Emily is kind of looking sheepish. Celine is like rapidly making her way over in that way that like shitty possessive people do. Is there anything else you want to do in the camp, or are you good to clear out?
I think I don't want to risk anymore and want to. Yeah.
Cool. So, Celine comes and again, throws a like slide, slinks an arm around, Emily's waist and like slides a hand into her pocket. And just says, babe, the beer's getting cold, which is when beer is good to drink. So we should go drink the cold beer. If your friend is done chatting with our illustrious alpha, besides, I think we've got other things we can get up to. And Emily looks like she's clearly kind of like, I was kind of gonna like leave with you, but maybe I should stay. I don't know. And then her shoulders fall a little bit. She's like, yeah, okay, yeah, sure. That sounds great. Iris, there'll be an Uber waiting for you in a few minutes out front. You go on ahead. It's cool. It's cool. I'll just hang out here for the night.
Okay, Em, if that's really what you want.
Yeah, I think so. And like Celine just kind of like gives her a look, and Emily just looks back and then like kisses her, and then kind of just like looks away and kind of says, I think. And then smiles brightly, gives you a quick wave, and goes to the beer keg with Celine.
I gotta get her out of this.
You go to leave, the Judy Greer looking werewolf comes over again and says, "So, like, are we gonna see you again? You gonna like hang out, or is this like a one time visit?"
I don't know. We'll see. I'm not opposed to coming back and hanging out.
Oh, cool. I always thought it'd be awesome to hang out with a vampire. Okay, sorry. I'll let you go. You seem very important. You rock. And then she turns and leaves. And Iris, alone, you leave the camp. Sure enough, an Uber does arrive, but it takes a little bit. You find yourself kind of standing by the path, feeling perhaps more lonely than you have in some time. The Uber arrives, and mercifully, it's of course an Uber Black, because, you know, like, Emily doesn't fuck around. So you have a mercifully quiet ride back to your new place. You spend a few days resting, looking into the various leads that you've received. Checking in, of course, with the boys, who seem to be up to no good. But after everything you've been through, and with the addition of Metathiax and Iggy and a bunch of other things, you just kind of need some space. And so for the first time in a long time, you take that space. What is the most valuable thing Iris does during this time to kind of get her head straight?
She probably tries to write, and it just doesn't go well and turns into like scribbling circles on a page.
Okay, so
tries to meditate.
Okay, so as our kind of day montage of frustration comes and goes, probably carrying through, what track from Folklore is the backing for this?
It's probably the one with what's the name of that band? Is it Bon Iver? Is that how you pronounce it?
Possibly. Sure. Let's go with that. Okay. So like coming like straight, if this was the film, like, you know, the song from the trailer slowly gets louder as Iris like takes her sad ride home. You spend some time meditating. It doesn't work. You spend some time writing. It doesn't work. Eventually there's just pages everywhere. Circles, some like crude drawings. You do hear from the rest of the coterie, but you've made it fairly clear that you need a few days, and they seem pretty busy. Seem to be up to some stuff, and you've learned it's best when they're kind of doing their thing to just kind of let them do their thing. Because honestly, if Everett ends up kidnapping another baby or something, you don't want any part of that right now. But finally, after a few days of failing to be human, you decide it's time to be kindred again. So you arrive at the university to meet the rest of the coterie to finally make your assault, to plan and execute your assault on the orphans, only to discover a jar of blood waiting for you outside the teaching morgue. With a card with a heart on it that just says, "I'm so glad you're back."
Ew. What have I done?
This episode of Blood and Serum features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's logos are by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by High Angle, and all our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, that's J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We've also got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon of Darkness at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night.
Spooky. Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire Unfriendly, Great Dane, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.